This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome to welcome to What a Time. All right. That faded out way faster. Did that change?
That was a very fast fade. Right? I agree.
It did that last week, too. Yeah.
Fuck, man. Hey, folks. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive.
We're leaving it in.
we're going to leave it in. Jesus Christ. All right. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things every week that make you say the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Yikes. Jeez. Really. Sorry, everybody.
I will say, like, I'm very impressed at how infrequently you false start with that. Like, I think that's the only time you've ever messed it up.
It really got me.
Goddamn professional over here.
It usually takes like
saying
15 seconds, and it was just like, okay, that's it. And I was like, ah.
Yeah. I do remember because there's like a very slow fade out. In fact, I think part of what happened was that, like, when we're here recording, the way it used to be, it was like such a long fade out. And like, you'd also let it play for a while, that I'm pretty sure Shelby just kept cutting it short, like when we'd actually cut the episode, because it was like 15 seconds. It used to be really long.
Yeah. Like, I think there must be a setting on this like soundboard thing that changed or something, because like, it's not like a. Like,
controller's broken. It's
It's not you. Controller's broken.
It was very fast.
It's been acknowledged that it was different. Faster. So please stop gaslighting me after agreeing with me.
I'm sorry.
How's
that's the best kind of gaslighting, is when you initially agree and then change your mind.
I don't think we were gaslighting you. I think we were just like, yeah, it's fucked up.
You were saying you were making fun of me for saying the remote was broken when you had already agreed the remote was broken.
What?
I thought I was being made fun of.
Let's move on.
Oh, no. I was not making fun of you.
A trip into the psyche of Patrick
Monahan.
Yeah,
that's what I'm like all the time. It's inside, so.
Sir, am I being made fun of?
Welcome to hell.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back, Kath.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I apologize in advance for how weird I'm going to be on this episode, because I have basically not slept in about 30 hours, maybe? More than that?
It'll be fun and weird, though. Like, I genuinely think sometimes, like, when I have to write sketch pitches or something, I feel like being sleep deprived, I've come up with some of my best ideas.
Well, it's like, now I'm like desperate, you know? I feel like when, like, no, I hate to quote Pete Holmes because he is so irritating in so many ways, but I remember him saying on his podcast that I feel like I agree with this, where he's like, if you have like all of your needs taken care of, you're like not as funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when like people get like significant others and they like stop doing comedy because they filled the void.
I'm prescribed like Ativan for anxiety, and I can't take it before stand up because I'm just like, I don't need to prove that I'm allowed to be outside my house. Like, I'm just like too relaxed, and I can't. I'm like not funny.
You guys, fun up here?
You mean like when I went on antidepressants and then immediately felt much less of like a burning need to constantly be on stage?
That's the thing is like, I'm like very pro meds. Like, I don't really subscribe to the idea that like medication makes you less funny, but I think what it makes you is less desperate to be liked, like, or less like your self-worth is like no longer completely dependent on other people laughing at you.
Yeah,
so
I don't
you just
think
like
it makes you at all less funny. It's just like,
no, you just get more well adjusted and thus don't want to do comedy as much.
Yeah, pretty much. I highly recommend. Like, I spent so long with that stupid, like, I was like, I could see things for what they really are, like, bullshit.
Yeah, nah, no, man. It's fucking lie.
Not worth it, man. Just get on some meds, you'll feel way better. And yeah, it's like, I still want to do comedy, but I'm also just like, but it goes both ways, where it's like, even if I'm doing comedy, not getting booked doesn't fucking kill me. Like,
right,
I don't,
yeah.
like, sit around being like, why does everyone hate me? Am I blackballed? I like legitimately would like have these days where I'd like run through everything I've ever done and be like, I must be blackballed. Like, I must have done something.
That's not mental health.
That's not a good thing to do.
That's not seeing things for how they really are. That's being fucked up. And
I'm so fucked up.
I will say I've done like, my entire comedy life, I've been on antidepressants since I was 14. So, like, and I think I'm pretty funny. So, you know. I don't really subscribe to that. Although,
but when you were 13, you were so fucking funny.
Dude, I was a genius. Yeah. Imagine what could have been.
She was like one of those child comics, only her dad wasn't writing her jokes in a way of like becoming a comic again because he failed when he was younger.
Dude, she's a Texas. You're talking about Saffron, right?
Yeah, there's some like 12. Like, yeah. Makes like jokes about like Rush and stuff.
Or
Nirvana. And it's like, you're 12.
The thing is, I've like, it's really silly to say I've worked with her because she's a child, but, genuinely very sweet kid, super nice, very funny, just has a dad that really wishes he was a comic.
Really bummed. No, because she was at Hell Yes Fest the year I was there.
Yeah.
Hell Yes, not a great festival anymore. she was there, and that was the thing, is like, it's just one of those things, like, I don't know if she maybe like helps write the material, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not blaming
but it's clearly
let's
like
make that, let's make it
there. Yeah, I know, yeah. But I'm saying the same thing, is like, it's that, like, when I first started stand-up in New York, I would go do this, like, open mic at the comic strip, and one day a 14-year-old kid came in and did, like, 7 minutes of Bill Hicks. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, everyone was like, wow, he's so good for 14. I'm like, he's just doing Hicks. Like, it's whatever. But she did that, and it was, like, good, but the thing was, like, she would do that, and then her dad at, like, the after party, obviously her dad stayed and hung out at the after party super late, and everyone's like,
hey man, so like, don't you guys have to go to bed?
Like, you literally like took your daughter and like dropped her off and then came back to hang out with comics. Like, this is so transparent. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I love hanging out with you. You know, how's your daughter, the one who got into the festival?
Yeah, the talented one.
That's like when the parents of the star college football players go hang out with all the other players on that team.
Yeah.
Because they have so much in common. It's very weird.
Would have been pretty good if after the 14-year-old kid did Bill Hicks, like a couple people later, a 12-year-old kid came in to Dennis Leary bit.
Yeah, just
that would be if those children came up with that, that would be a wonderful conceptual act.
I would watch brothers that did that.
I would watch.
I want to smoke. I want to eat steak. It's like, how old are you? What? Hang on.
A 12-year-old doing Dennis Leary honestly sounds awesome.
It's like, and he's just got the voice too.
Yeah,
he's just like
exactly.
He's smoking. He's just chainsawing. I was like, what the fuck is happening? I think it's like, if there weren't laws against it or something, like zero possibility there wouldn't be have been like Dennis Leary branded cigarettes, right? Like that would have been merch is like cigarettes. Like, I'm surprised he didn't like I bet he definitely in Dennis Leary's career has signed packs of cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like multiple times.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
He signed tickets for people that got tickets for parking in handicap zones.
I'm an asshole.
Wasn't that one of his classic bits?
Yeah, that's why I read some stupid.
That's right. Sometimes I park in handicap spaces. While handicapped people make handicapped faces, I believe is the lyric.
Classic comedy for all time.
I read some stupid thing that someone came out with, and they were like trying to say that there's like an erosion of morality because the new comedy thing is like unapologetic assholism. And I was like, Dennis Leary did the asshole song. He did the asshole song in like 90 something.
Comedy
it's
has
forever.
Always been unapologetic assholes. That's like the bread and butter of comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
and in fact, the fact that people want comics not to be unapologetic assholes is like a massive sea change.
Yeah, that's like the new thing.
Yeah. Lastly, on like, or I don't know. Lastly,
I don't like humor at anyone's expense. It's like, what do you? What? Like, what is gonna? Yeah. Okay.
Something I heard that I think is like kind of an interesting take. Obviously, I'm like someone who I don't like doing comedy that is like not what I believe. Like, I'm like, I'm more on the softer end of that stuff. But I did hear someone say it. I think it's like a very good point where they're like, punching up and punching down is not really the best analogy because like jokes aren't punching, they're tickling. So it's like you can tickle down. It's not like the worst thing in the world. It depends on the joke, obviously, but like you can't, those kinds of rules, like
it's also like in most settings, you're not fucking saving the world. Like
comedy and jokes and language has a lot of power, but it doesn't have that much power.
Oh my
like,
God.
Especially at a fucking open mic in like, you know,
it's that shit is so fucking, I hate it so much. Like that's like what everybody wants. Cause now comedy is like, it's part of the second comedy boom thing, but it's like, I was reading some article that was talking about, it was a good article. It was the one that you, I think, sent me that was like about, conservatives like getting mad that they're not getting respected.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a good article, but in like the first paragraph, it's like,
artists do, it's like artists do this, some do this. It's like comedians have the ability to tell unwelcome truths with softer. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's not, and also it's like, and then, but people phrase it that way, like they're unwelcome truths. And like most of this shitty comedy is, they're welcome truths. What's the opposite of unwelcome truths? It's just also, like,
yeah. Well, that's like the people that do kind of quote unquote punch down is like, that's what they think too. They think they're like fucking saying what everybody's afraid to say. And it's like, no, your job is to entertain people. Yeah. Right. People came out and they want to have a good fucking time.
Don't put this on comedians. Yeah.
We're not fucking philosophers. We're stupid.
Yeah. The Shakespearean fool. The only man who can speak truth to the king. Yeah. Like, fucking suck my dick. Also, jesters had like bells. Like, it's not.
I blame Terry Gross for this. I think this is a fresh air thing. I think that like, especially people on the left, like, just love to, you know, fucking smell comedians' farts. And it's like, we're dumb. Everyone talks about their dick. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The article, you know, I think it was in Washington Monthly. Does that sound right, Eli? I forget where it was. I don't remember. But it's basically just like, you know, they won the election. They got everything they wanted, theoretically. And they're still, like, bitching and moaning because people aren't, like, dropping to their knees in front of them. Like, you know, you're in charge now. It's like, we won. You have to be nice to us and respect us. Fuck off, dude.
Absolutely.
Even more
not.
So when you're in charge. What are you, nuts? What do you think this is? Yeah. And like, this idea of anything being subversive is like so foreign to them that like, well, no, we're in charge. You're supposed to listen to who's in charge. It's like, or we're just going to make fun of it more. I don't know. Like, this idea that like politics is downstream from culture, like people, and also like the values themselves are not like inconsistent with what people that make art usually think, right? What did you think was going to happen?
You thought all the creatives would fall in line behind you.
Oh yeah, no,
you
guys
power.
Are good now. Also, I'm pro life now, or what? What are we? What are you talking
this
about?
This is a good segue. Probably.
It is.
Just,
it works well into the.
So you don't have to be nice to people that are you don't agree with politically, especially if they're powerful, but especially if they are the most powerful, meaning the ruling party at the moment.
If you can tell like anyone to suck your dick, it's them.
Right, and that brings us to
number five.
Number five.
Like, number five segue. Was Eli telling someone to suck. It was, no.
No, it was like I started a segue, but then it just got derailed. Number five is like, this just happened. We're recording on Sunday this week, so this is very recent. The White House Correspondents' Dinner just happened, which like, I obviously have known about for a long time. I still can't like quite grasp what it's supposed to be. Like, every time it comes up, it seems like people are like, it's... very important, but also it's a good time.
It's
like, it's
nerd
what?
Prom.
It's like
it's a bunch of fucking self-congratulatory journalists holding a roast for themselves and then getting upset when they actually get roasted. That's what happens every fucking year.
Which also, like, more than ever before, with currently what's going on, for them to be like, haha, roast us. It's like, you guys really fucked up a lot. Like. Yeah. You deserve a very big roast. But anyways, they had the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Michelle Wolf hosted it. Very funny. And did jokes. And surprisingly, like we just said, conservatives are mad. Because they hired a comedian to do current events jokes. And, like, conservatives, like, Republicans are living satire right now. And then I guess they just didn't want a comedian to mention that. It's like you're doing the most insane shit in the world. You're like riding around on a tricycle, like shitting your pants and honking a horn. And then someone's like, hey, is that person shitting their pants? And they're like, don't talk about it. Like, why can't you be civil? And it's like, what the fuck do you want?
That's the interesting thing to me, is this sudden appeal to civility.
Right.
Like, it's so silly. And that's like one of the things that I've been frustrated about on our side, is when people do that. Is they try to appeal to civility. Like Patty said, no, you don't have to fucking be civil to people who are this egregiously evil. Like, you don't have to be civil to anybody in power. Like, fuck that. Their consolation prize for you telling them to fuck off is that they're in charge of everything. Like, you don't...
Like, it's the same free speech that you guys love on college campuses.
Right.
Is the same one that you can tell say that Kellyanne Conway's a fucking liar and... you hope a tree falls on her, but doesn't hurt her. That's one of the jokes. Don't worry about it.
I did like that.
Paraphrased.
Like, I don't want her to get hurt, just stuck.
Yeah. It should be another one of those like bronze hammer things where someone's like, they threaten violence against Kellyanne Conway by saying that a tree would fall on her.
Other things have usurped the outrage level of that. But if that was the worst quote unquote thing, then it would have been.
The FBI is like, was like, someone said that they wished that Trump was swallowed by a whale, so we will be guarding the coastline. Pretty
pretty closely.
We're looking into all people with marine biology backgrounds and animal training backgrounds.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, I used to like have this like half of a bit, and then I was just like, I don't like doing this, so I stopped doing it. It was like that sort of thing is like. That's that stupid civility thing where now it's even stupider, but it was like more when it was like actually the campaigns were happening and stuff. And they still have this stupid, that's why you lose everything. It's like they were doing the equivalent of just like throwing like sand and like piss in your eye. And they're still like doing old timey boxing with like backwards yeah. fists. And they're like, how uncouth of you, sir. Approach me the correct way.
Yeah.
Like, just well, what is the problem?
That like, I mean, it goes back to all that shit during the election. Everything is like, a lot of these people, it seems like the biggest problem they have with Trump is that he's rude. It's like, yeah. that is like so far right. down the list of yeah. things that are wrong with this person.
But also like he is rude, so who fucking cares?
So who cares? Yeah. Be rude back. Right. Who gives a
that's,
fuck?
That's what's insane. Like she makes these jokes that people have completely miscast. Michelle Wolf made these jokes, completely miscast about Sarah, for example, about Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, like, that's the one everybody's mad
like,
about.
Like, you know, I loved you as a character in Handmaid's Tale. I haven't seen Handmaid's Tale, but I know it's played by Ann Dowd. So I guess, first of all, you're projecting a lot. Either Ann Dowd is unattractive. It's not clear right. what that's supposed to mean, right?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
kind of insulting. And maybe that's in your head. The second one is about how she turns facts into lies, into a smoky, something about makeup, but it's like a compliment on the makeup. And they're saying that's something about her.
Sorry.
No, I'm just like, I feel like I've had this argument with people a lot because like I'm bitchy and make fun of people's makeup.
Sure.
And like, it's not, that is not making fun of how someone looks. That is how, making fun of how someone has chosen to present
it's
themselves.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. Right, it's not like,
right.
if somebody
they
dresses,
can help it.
Yeah, like, that's like you making fun of someone's clothes. It's not
yeah.
like,
it's also
you can't do
technically,
it.
It's not making fun of. She said a flawless, smoky
she
eye.
She did. She yeah. did.
So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe yeah. you don't take her at her word, but, and then there was
Sarah
also.
Huckabee, I will say that Sarah say, Huckabee Sanders, her eye makeup is usually pretty good.
So there you go.
Can I say how fucking sick that would be if that was the level we got to with, like, not being able to punch down as like there can be somebody in like the jean co's with like the chain goth pants and like just like crazy like chain goth pants and a shirt that's like Goku with like a guitar or something and you can be like you look like a fucking idiot and the guy's like please stop attacking my appearance
yeah.
this is
I mean yeah.
something I can't change
people do like
these are
get
literally
that mad
the
about
only
this.
Clothes I can afford it's like well all right
well it's like this
me.
Is my self-expression like don't yeah. you know this is me living my truth in my Goku shirt
but it wasn't that like from the way
and these people don't give a fuck
no, well,
they say
yeah.
awful
well,
things
right.
about people's appearance
I mean,
all the time
from the way people also, were reacting last today and last night it was just like hey, check out fat, ugly woman over here. Look at this fat, ugly lady. Look, check her out. She's fat. She's ugly. Oh, and it's like, not. First of all, not even funny. Cringe. They love saying
yeah.
cringe now. That's
they love
a big
putting
thing.
Comedian in quotes.
Yeah.
I've noticed a
so-called
lot of headlines.
Comedian.
Cringe is a big internet shit now.
Yeah.
It's a big, like,
they
it's
love
like,
that.
Ooh, cringe, like, and it's just for anything.
It's like, sorry, it's like, not edgelord enough for you. Whatever, it doesn't have the N word in it or whatever
yeah.
you think makes something.
It's like
funny.
It's supposed to be like try hard or something, like the
yeah.
equivalent of that. But yeah, the other thing is like, yeah, why they get mad about it? I mean, this is not original or crazy to be like they're hypocritical. But the same shit, where it's like, oh, me saying that I hope like Trump falls down like one of those shafts with a big fan and gets sliced in half, like that. They're like really mad about, but it's like. Me joking about that got that.
I was trying to imagine this scenario leading to him
falling
being
into
near
a...
one of those shafts.
He's just that's his because he's like
you know those shafts
I wanna have
with
a great
big
weekend.
Fans everywhere.
I do know those
yeah,
shafts.
Yeah. That's what he wants to do. Is like for this weekend, he's like, I have a weekend off.
It's very action movie heavy understanding.
What's the biggest fan we can get to? He just wants to watch it. He
also, the
it's
idea
cool.
that he would fall in there and just be sliced once in half,
yeah,
and
perfectly.
Not just like mashed into pieces or
perfectly.
Whatever, or like sliced up like deli meat.
No, I'm imagining like a nesting doll situation. Like he's sliced right down the middle, like a hard boiled egg, and <you're> like. But like I can say that as a joke, and that is like. The worst thing I could possibly do, but to seriously say that a kid who is in like a school shooting is a crisis actor
yeah.
is like, you're like, well, I'm just exploring the truth. It's
yeah.
like, why are jokes worse than that? I don't understand.
All right. And they also like, it's amazing. Well, the thing to me that's funny is that like, yeah, obviously all the shitheads on the right are all like, you know, because that's what they do.
That was a really good impression.
And they
can we get that on the soundboard for next week?
It's it was like one of those dogs with breathing problems when the mailman comes. It's like a Frenchie losing
its like a harumph without actually harumphing. But no, like that guy,
Grimley eating cereal.
Yeah. they're that guy Matt Schlapp who like runs CPAC. That's his name.
Of course it is.
Matt Schlapp.
Matt Schlapp.
Who used to be like, yeah, the Schlapp
definitely
was a
makes
bad
that
miniseries.
Noise. Yeah. You just made the Schlapp. The miniseries about.
About somebody hit about a kid somebody, with Matt Schlapp.
Yeah.
About someone getting mad at him for running CPAC and slapping him.
Yeah, so somebody Irish whipped Matt Schlapp into a kid.
He used to be like the head Coke lobbyist. And it's like, I'm sick of these elites making fun of us. It's like, who the fuck are you, man, if you're not the elite in a tuxedo at this fancy dinner? Like, what? And then he went to the after party anyway. We got up early. We didn't want to stick around. So him and his wife, Mercedes, which I know is not, which is not a name that means that you're rich, but it's still funny. And she works in the White House. So fuck off. You're one of the elites. Anyway, so those people were all very predictable what they're complaining about. But it was the reporters who were like, yeah, this is not really what we are about.
Yeah.
Because there's a few reasons why I think that this is why they're like this. One is they have to preserve access. Right. Yeah. So they have to kind of like, especially the White House press corps have to be like, you know, well, she's not that bad day to day. Yeah, she fucking lies to us and treats us
like
little
kids. Right,
but
like, this is not what we signed on for with Michelle Wolf.
So for this, these fucking media assholes, a comedian making jokes that might be offensive is inappropriate and shouldn't be done, but fucking interviewing neo-Nazis to find out what they think and publishing that nationally, that's like good. What is your moral, what is this ground?
I don't know.
Well, no, it's like Patty said, it's all utilitarian.
But literally, yeah. I mean, we're talking about White House press corps specifically, or like people that are on national news.
Okay.
They need to not have these people get pissed off because they could revoke their passes or what, you know. Yeah. They,
just do it. I don't.
Well, I agree. Fuck it, right? I mean, who cares, really?
What information have you ever gotten from
them? Information anyway.
Right,
through an official channel, what like useful information have you ever received from them?
No, it's just cutting off your access to unfiltered propaganda from them. That's all it is.
But it's also status preservation. Look,
no,
I,
completely.
I understand.
And there's like the traditions of the White House press corps, and like
then
that
like,
needs
yeah,
to exist.
Right.
And
then there's that shitty, squishy DC. They're all in the same game thing where they're all, you know, like there was a thing they had like a party on Friday, and it's like, wow, DC's crazy. Can't believe wait till Stormy Daniels' lawyer meets Kellyanne Conway. It's like these people are all just playing in the same fucking game that nobody else is in. Like, you know,
they don't.
So it's all that same stuff.
Well, they have no skin in the game,
right? And the reporters are just like, well, we just wanted to have some cocktails and prime rib. We didn't want to have this actually be about anything, you know, which is basically what the press corps dinners,
which is why all those White House correspondent centers are like kind of disgusting, and especially now are.
But like, there was the one that was Colbert, where he basically called Bush a war criminal to his face, which is pretty good.
That was good.
And there was this one, obviously, but like, it's funny because like they have this sense of, well, we have to have decorum, but then at the same time, this was going on. Trump is having a rally where he's saying, like, any Hispanics here? And everyone starts booing.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about the wall. And then like later, there's a video of a guy from the end of the thing. Where they have like the little press pen they put him in, you know. Again, this is all very being treated very well. There's a guy who just stands there screaming at them for like 5 minutes, saying like, "You're all degenerates. You should all be, you know." And it's like, yeah, totally. We should definitely make sure that we, you know, coddle people that believe this.
Yeah.
I guess if you're literally trying to avoid getting attacked by these people, I understand that point of view. But otherwise, what?
Well, no, and that's what the
be
thing
nice to them didn't work. He still said it's fake news, and they're all the enemy of the public. And what's going to change? You can't reverse that.
Yeah, like Sean Spicer came to like my across the street from where my family lives in D.C. is like she works on like a TV network or something. It's like she had a birthday party. Sean Spicer comes to that. They go to parties, man. I think there's like more bad blood between like players on rival football teams than there is between like Chuck Schumer and some like Republican asshole. It's like trouble having like some Cowboys guy and a Washington guy. Like they somehow give more of a shit about that.
It's like watching David Ortiz talk to Derek Jeter when they're like when like Ortiz gets a hit and he's on like second base and they're like, it's like, you're not supposed to be friends. I hate that guy.
It's like you said, it's like they're not, it's not like they're trying to prevent being like having violence against these people or anything. The stakes for all of these people involved are so fucking low. Like it's just, it's all fucking fake. And the fact that Michelle Wolf, like her jokes were not even that incisive, really. I mean, they were like, a lot of them were funny and they were like harsh, but it wasn't like, It didn't seem like crazy out of left field to me, but,
but they punctured enough of the little veneer.
Exactly.
You know what? I mean, this is not a real, but like, make fucking Congress salaries just like upper middle class. Like,
yeah,
like make it that. And it's like, okay, if you want to be a politician so badly, then you shouldn't really give a shit. You're still like live super comfortably and all that. But it's like, then all of a sudden you're not out. Like everybody's not in the same bracket. That's the equivalent of just like staring down and being like, oh, sorry, I failed you. You all lose health insurance. Anyways, I'll see you in 2 fucking years or whatever.
Plus,
I'm going to go, you know, jet ski into a pile of money or whatever. I mean, they're not that rich, but whatever.
And plus, I mean, she also like straight up just told them like, you guys fucked up. Like, you love Trump. He's good for you. Like, whatever, you know? And it's like, ooh, you know, because like for them, they're probably like, well, we're actually, you know, and it makes you wonder with some of these people, like Maggie Haberman was one of the big ones. The New York Times like celebrated, you know, has gotten all these scoops. And it's like, okay, if she's doing all this work to protect Sarah Sanders, like, where is she like her pipelined information? And how much of this is just controlled, you know, leaks where it's just nothing of any value is coming out that anyone cares about? Because then it's like, well, great, then what are you even doing?
Well, no, I mean, these people all tell themselves that they're, you know, furthering the cause of independent journalism or whatever. They all have their own sort of self-perception that they're doing something important when really they're all fucking collaborators.
And if that's the way it's always been, fine, but then you were never heroes ever, so who cares, right? Yeah. I mean, what's the, you know?
Camille Nanjiani tweeted that because it was like, I guess Maggie Haberman reached out to him or tweeted him or something about like the attack on Sarah Sanders' appearance. And he was like, well, what's the... He's like, do you know the joke? And she was like, actually, I don't know the joke and all that. And he was just eventually... It was like a little back and forth. He's like, you're making it very clear that your source for this is Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
And you probably shouldn't do that. But...
Also, I'm a feminist. I feel like that's something that's important to me. If someone's evil, you can make fun of their appearance.
We like, talked about this in the pub. We had that rule. It's just like, that's a thing. And it's like, everyone knows what their thing is, too. And it's just like... Everyone has agreed that if you aren't a piece of shit, we won't talk about whatever your thing
it's
is.
It's fine.
And she didn't really.
And
that's
she
the
didn't.
Crazy thing about the whole
she
thing.
Didn't. I would be like maybe a little annoyed if she had gone like, you know, full fat joke or something. But it's like, no, it's fine. Anyway, we solved it. Good job, guys.
Also, I enjoyed the thing.
Listen
that
to comedians,
was, like,
but also
out,
don't listen to comedians.
Yeah.
I was also enjoying that like a couple of people finally started to point out that with all this shit, and it was like in relation to the Joy Reid stuff, but like. Being that, like, for a while, the go-to, like, acceptable liberal joke was, like, Putin sucking off Trump.
Yeah.
And just being, like, super homophobic and being like, Stephen Colbert called him a cock holster. I mean, I had to apologize for it. But that was something that to them was, like, an acceptable joke. It's like, you can't just, like, pick and choose this way.
Are you saying acceptable? Am I hearing that?
Yeah, no, you say it weird.
What, acceptable?
Acceptable.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Acceptable, right?
Acceptable.
Like I think it works both ways.
Like AKS, acceptable?
Acceptable.
Acceptable.
That's how you say it.
Accept. Do you accept this?
No.
Whoa.
This might be regional then.
Holy shit.
Or maybe I'm insane.
This is like, I can't believe we've done this much podcast and we've not noticed or figured this out before.
It's at least regional. I don't know. It's
probably regional.
It might be regional to your house.
No.
It's regional to your voice box.
I don't think it's that crazy. I've been saying it like that forever.
It's like, it sounds like European.
I kind of like it. Like, I feel like it rolls off the tongue easier, but it is wrong.
Guys, fucking pick it up. Let's start. Give it a shot. Acceptable. I think it's perfect. You know what? I think it's perfectly acceptable.
There it is.
Very acceptable way to say that.
Do not accept this as normal. This is not
Do
normal.
Not normalize this.
Do not normalize this. Okay. Well, look, I think we... Like we said, comedians are always right until they're not, and
exactly.
don't listen to them, but also listen to them. Pretty much, you know, we really set up a pretty framework that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, just an ironclad intellectual framework for regarding our work.
Yeah, if we ever need to change numbers quickly in the future, I'll make sure to just say a word weird and be like, okay, grinding halt.
Number four.
Okay, number four. That's another... nice piece of sort of conservative grievance culture that came to a head. It's related to a hat, actually. So this dude back in... Oh, this is a long time ago now. Okay, so January 2017, right around the inauguration, this guy went to a bar in the Village in Manhattan wearing a MAGA hat. Now, that part of the city, that New York in general, but especially like, you know, the West, like the Village, West Village, it's, you know, not a very
it's like
conservative part.
Yeah, it's like gay tolerable people and students.
It's
yeah.
like the, one of the few tolerable.
I mean, there's there's money, you know, but yeah. But so there, I guess maybe there is more than you would think. But in terms of like openly walking around, you're not going to see many of yeah. those.
Like you said, like one of the least annoying neighborhoods in Manhattan, probably. Yeah.
So he walks into this bar called the Happiest Hour.
That's a silly name for a bar.
Well, look, I don't know. It was right after the inauguration. So I think that probably for some people, emotions are running pretty high because it was still like, how the fuck is this happening? This is crazy, whatever. And, he got tossed, after complaining, about rude service from a bartender. So maybe he got a little bit of brusque service, then complained. And then someone just said basically like, hey, feel free to leave, pal. And actually, somebody maybe overreacted a little bit, said, and you need to leave right now because we won't serve you, blah, blah, blah. So he sued, as one would do. First, he got an article in the Post.
Yeah, I believe they also, with the hat, they were like, if you take it off, they were like, take it off, and then it will be fine.
Really? They gave him the ultimatum? I'm not 100%
confirmed on that, but I think that they were, in the altercation at some point, they were like, look, just take the hat off.
So I'm going back to the original article. He paid, his tab was $186.
God damn.
What the fuck?
Or 150.
How slow did he get thrown out?
Yeah.
He just walked in.
He got fucking booted. He spent $150.
Yeah. He just walked in and was like, I would like 50 shots, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It says
Jesus Christ.
Says four. Well, here we go.
15 top shelf shots. Bartender.
We got the list here. 4 Bell of the Ball signature cocktails, 4 Miller High Life beers.
Bell of the Ball!
A Kettle One vodka.
Can you imagine drinking? Well, I don't know. Forget what the fuck a guy's wearing. If a guy sat down and was like, a Bell of the Ball, please. And then drank it and he goes, another Bell of the Ball. And I gave him that and he drank. He goes, one more Bell of the Ball. And he drinks that and I come over, do you want another? Yes, another Bell of the Ball. I'd be like, you need to leave because you're the fucking weirdest dude I've ever met in my life. Hey. Just tanking. Who takes 4 specialty cocktails,
well,
dude?
He was with a little group.
I'm sure he's with people, so but I like the idea it was all him.
He was with a group. His tab was down and... I guess he claims he was refused service even though he paid the tab and like put a tip on the tab.
He refused service after taking part of a substantial amount of service.
Yeah. So anyway, so he sued in Manhattan Supreme Court for prejudice. There we got the Bell of the Ball. What's in there? What do we got? Flavors remind me of the...
Someone reviewed it? Is that what we're looking at?
It looks like it. Yeah, it's like probably it's like 6 drinks you have to have. It looks like it's in Forbes.
It looks tropical.
It does.
Oh, Shelby. I was reading the paragraph.
Can we get a zoom in here?
Okay.
This is riveting.
The bright and vegetal sweetness of red bell pepper is balanced and enhanced by the crispness of fresh lemon juice with a hint of spice from the hellfire habanero shrub. Those flavors remind me of the Southwest, where I was born.
This is an alcohol
and
drink?
And Mexico. One of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah.
This drink is meant to evoke an escapist sensibility, which was arguably one of the main reasons tiki initially rose to prominence around
like
the time
drink.
Of World War II.
There's a piece of
that's
red
from
pepper.
The head bartender? There's... All right. I mean, fuck this bar also.
Hey.
But and it's... Oh, gross. It's gin and mezcal.
Okay. Well, so somebody had 4 of those.
God.
Jesus.
All right.
So basically, this guy sued saying you can't do that. This is discrimination or whatever. And there's sort of a problem with the lawsuit from the beginning, which is that which politicians you like is not a fucking protected class in New York. There are apparently in D.C. it is. I did not know that. But
I guess that
makes sense. It would break down aggressively if they didn't. You can't sue. You can't like. So people were like immediately comparing this to like the bake the cake thing with the Christian bakers, right? But it's like, no, that's not how this works. Like, you can't. You can discriminate all you want based on, oh, I don't like guys in purple shirts. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. That's why you can have all those like pretty racist dress codes.
Right.
Like,
come to Bad Karma Friday. No sports jerseys. No shorts. No baseball caps.
No do-rags.
No Timberlands.
So this guy complained. He filed a lawsuit. The bar contested the lawsuit instead of settling, so good on them, I guess. Basically, just said that only religious beliefs are protected under state and discrimination laws, saying supporting Trump is not a religion, which I would actually disagree with at this point. It's getting awfully close. But the guy pivoted then, his lawyer, and said, well, He was wearing the hat because he had just been visiting the 9/11 memorial. And he was paying a spiritual tribute to the victims of 9/11.
You guys...
So the hat was part of that spiritual belief.
I also often try to get out of everything by saying I was just at the 9/11 memorial. Anytime I'm in trouble.
That's when I'm late. I say, there's a huge line at the 9/11 memorial this morning when I went to...
When I went to pay my daily respects. Yeah.
You also know... That's how you know he really takes it seriously. And he goes to mourn the lives of those lost in 9/11, then goes, hey guys, there's a great tiki bar I heard about in the West Village. In case you want
to
go drink.
And he's not he's from Philly, too. He's not from here. So he's visiting. So that's how you know he's a tourist, because he went to the 9/11 thing. But in January, I guess people probably go around the time if they are have a reason to go. But yeah, so he's saying that somehow this is religious now or whatever. Nobody bought it, but instead of removing the hat, he held true to his real spiritual belief and was for like. Has anybody ever been this desperate for a payout? Have you ever heard this before? This is insane. Like, he's basically a Sikh. This is like his turban. Is what
it's for him.
So they just ruled on this recently, right?
Like, this just happened this week.
I think I might have told this story on the podcast before, but I was doing a comedy show the night of the inauguration, like after the Women's March and everything. I was on a show that night, and these people came in, and it's the Velveeta Room on 6th Street, where like a lot of people are like sort of barked in because it's like kind of a main nightlife drag. And so people came in, they were very drunk, and they got cut off by the waitress, and then one of the guys called the waitress a bitch, and... So the bartender was like, all right, you got to leave. Like, obviously, call my waitress a bitch and you're drunk and you won't leave. And they, after that, was like, everything's got to be so fucking PC now because of the fucking Women's March. Like, this is bullshit discrimination. And it's like, okay, you said it, not me. Your political stance is calling waitresses bitches. Like, that is now a political issue because the guy you like is that awful. It was wild.
They missed their wish. It's like, the reason that people used to, like, and I guess whenever that was
years
like
too late.
Yeah. It's like the reason that fucking Don Draper, whoever your hero is, can call women bitches or something is not because of political correctness. It's because it was just like nobody had figured out what was okay in life.
It was crazy because they really were like, this is because we're Trump supporters. And it's like, well, we didn't know you were Trump supporters, but apparently you feel this is you acting in accordance with those beliefs.
Yeah,
is getting drunk and calling a waitress a bitch.
Also, again, the insane hypersensitivity to this is because I like Trump. It's like, no, that was not, you said she was a bitch. What are you talking about? You're drunk, you're acting like an asshole, and let me just finish this last bit. So the judge said, like, this is part of your client's religion. Is that what you're saying? And the lawyer said, how many members, are there in this spiritual, program this guy's in? And he's like, oh, Your Honor, we don't allege the amount of individuals. So it's a creed of one, judge said. yes, Your Honor. So the judge took a short break, came back to the bench.
Smelling like cigarettes.
Yeah, takes a short break to go laugh himself breathless in the back.
Plaintiff does not state any faith-based principle to which the hat relates. Threw the suit out. He sued for unspecified emotional damages. The judge said the incident amounted to nothing more than a petty slight. So this is a guy who thinks he's like, Che Guevara or something. He's like standing up for his political beliefs. When it's really just like, feels like a shakedown. Like, hey, you better know you want this to get in the paper or whatever, But I'm assuming there's probably already been small groups of chuds who have gone to the bar and been like pointing me the hat and being like, I'll take a bell of the ball, please.
I hope there's a Law and Order about this.
The guy would have to get killed or something, I guess, right? Otherwise, it would be a weird episode. It's like, it's like a small claims lawsuit. I don't know.
I do like that when they do that in Law and Order, where they take something where no one has died and then just add a murder to it so they can talk about it on Law and Order. It's always good. It's
like, kids love Tide Pods these days.
Yeah.
Also, there was a murder unrelated to Tide Pods, but they were talking about Tide Pods. It's fine.
You would know this more than I would as like a lawyer, but the specificity of that, it feels like, is creed of one like a legal phrase?
I think it's just the judge.
The judge being hilarious.
It sounds like some sort of precedent that there was, like, because somebody, that just means you could say you're religious for anything. But this
creed
is also,
of one is how Scott Stepp felt late at night.
Did you ever read it was on LiveJournal back in the day, and it was a post about someone basically catfishing Scott Stapp into driving to a Denny's in Florida at like 1 a.m. It was so good. Poor and they Stapp. told everyone in the Denny's what was happening, no. and then Scott Stapp came.
That's so mean.
It was so that's, funny.
It's funny, but that's so mean. Like, he just makes bad music. He's not... Did he do any shitty stuff? Shitty man?
I think he was cheating. Like, I think that this was... He was, like, trying to cheat. So it was, like, a little bit justified, but still mean. Still very mean.
Like, making fun of him based... So, like, it's like people hating the Nickelback guy. It's like, look, man, he's not, like, he's not doing anything bad in the world.
He's just doing his job. Yeah. He's just doing his job.
You're just mad because he's better at it than you are at your job, because he clearly is. I don't know what your job is.
That's, like, this is... I mean, this specific case is just, like, it seems truly impossible to hammer through these people's heads that... There's a difference between like private business and the free speech. Like it's if you're in a private business, it's like there's a plane. Do you remember that weird story of there's a plane and there's a guy on it that had that shirt that says Broad Fucking City in like really big letters, and he was wearing it on the plane, and flight attendant was like,
yeah, watch it, pal.
Yeah, was like, hey, can you take that shirt off? Like, there are kids on the plane and stuff, and he refused, and then got kicked off the plane, and people tried to make it into like.
It's
a
my
thing.
Beliefs. The Comedy Central program Broad City is my beliefs.
Yeah, but it's just like fuck off. Like it's like people can leave, ask you to leave for pretty much. Whatever reason,
if you're
they
in
want.
A private business or something,
unless
like, you
it's
can
a protected
be
thing,
right?
So that's why I they had to bake the fucking cake, or the, you know what I mean? Because
right.
they're well, you know, well, we can't do it because you're gay, but and then they run their own thing, which is religion up against it, and that's why it's so complicated. Because then it's like, well, whose rights trump the other ones? This guy had nothing, you know, the whole thing, the fact that the lawyer took the case probably as a publicity stunt to like get his name out there for similar shit.
Yeah.
I would like to say one thing before we move on.
Yes.
Regarding the Law and Order theme that we just heard. If you watch Law and Order SVU with closed captioning, the theme song is captioned Funky Mystery Music. Thank you.
That
sounds
my
like
poor
what the
name.
Yeah. That sounds like something you would something that would be called in Japan or something.
Funky Mystery Music.
Funky Mystery Music.
Yeah, it's just more of this stuff. It's like they're completely incapable of thinking of anything in a non-binary sense. Like, the idea of, like, nuance at all, they're like, to watch them do opinions is like someone just flicking lights on and off. They're like, it's bad. Oh, so it's good? Oh, okay, so it's bad. It's like, how are you not following
and
this?
And to be fair, a lot of people are like that. I mean, you know, but it is just, like, it's exhausting to watch.
A lot of people aren't really smart and don't have podcasts.
That's true.
But they think... Everyone's always trying to score points, so it's like, okay, fine, we'll bake the cake. It's people that style themselves as intelligent, you know, people. It's like, until they pass a law in New York City New York State that says that political affiliation is a protected class, this is completely distinguishable from the situation at the fucking cake place. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? And it's like, well, no. I mean, we're talking about application of law to what happened. It's like, well, all right, but you see how... No, I don't see how. Also, they should have to bake the cake, so fuck off. Okay.
Number three.
This one's fun. So this is a story from New York Post. Incredible. Also, do you see that headline? We've always talked about good New York Post headlines.
Oh,
I
love them.
The one for the sex cult lady, Allison Mackey? What's her name?
Allison Mack.
Yeah, yeah.
The headline they used was, he's a perv. Look in the sky. He's a perv. What is it? God damn it. He's a perv, she's a slave, it's a sex cult. Instead of it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. And sex cult was in the Superman font. It was unbelievable.
Oh, in the Superman font too? Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, it was very good.
The New York Post is like definitely an evil institution. But if fun. I could just do the headlines, I would take that job.
Yeah, yeah.
So forget all the stuff I said about all the White House press corps being collaborators. If I got to write dumb headline puns, I would do it.
I want to see the New York Post table at the press corps. They're like got sunglasses on. They're like super cool. Fun. anyways, this is a story from them. And the headline is French museum discovers more than half of its paintings are fake. Which
Hell
is
yeah.
For a museum. A huge setback.
That's not what you want.
Definitely not something you look for at a museum.
For a museum, a very, very high percentage of fake paintings.
Yeah, a lot of wall space opened up. and so, like, more than half. Like, I mean, I guess it depends on the how like important a museum it is, but usually a fake is a pretty big deal, especially for a museum, which is like, I mean, I would love to watch that happen because I still have in my head, when I think of a museum, I think of like a very haughty, like thin mustached man.
Oh, or, especially, wasn't it in France too?
Yeah.
So like the snobbiest of snobby museums.
Yeah, so it's like, our collection, and then someone's like, half of these are fake. And they're like, Paul Delevingne? Like, I don't know. Like, I can do fake French,
I'm
right?
I'm inventor.
Yeah. Doing Cajun.
I'm inventor.
Stop doing my Cajun inventor voice.
Yeah, all French people sound like Cajun.
I will say it to our listeners, I confess I did not listen to the episode I was not on, because I'm a monster. So this is my first experience with the Patty and Eli soundboard.
Yeah. What else is
I'm more inventive.
It's really good.
The rest of it might as well not exist as long as Patty's in charge.
It should just be one big button that just says I'm more
inventive.
The whole iPad is just one button.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I found out through the soundboard that I do a lot more voices than I realize.
You do a lot of voices.
That's how I end up with a Slim Jim, bud. That's my favorite.
Give me.
But is television not hot?
Yeah, there you go.
It's like a Marvin the Martian. XQ36 space modulator. It also, I just always imagine the voice of, I mean, I don't want to play a clip, but I feel like we play more and more just clips that we like of stuff. But I always imagine Bronson, what's his fucking last name? Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2? Bronson Pinchot in the Art Gallery, which is one of the funniest.
He's also in 3.
Yeah, but his debut scene, you've seen it, right? You've seen Beverly. Have you seen any Beverly Hills Cops?
No.
Dude, they're so good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. One
all right, I'm going to leave. I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go watch Beverly Hills Cop. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Pull up Beverly Hills Cop,
too. We're watching the whole thing.
It's so good.
That's the Crazy Frog.
Judge
theme.
Reinhold sticks frog. The banana in the tailpipe.
We're just doing Beverly Hills Cop now?
Yeah.
So you think everyone who runs an art gallery or art museum is Serge?
Yeah.
How you all doing today?
Hi.
I'm fine. My name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Miss Jenny Summers.
She's very busy today. Maybe you give me your name?
My name's Axel Foley.
And what is pertaining?
I didn't understand what you said.
Pertaining, what it's meaning, regarding.
Oh, what's it regarding? I'm an old acquaintance of hers.
Danae? One moment. Don't run and tell me, Summers, that Mr. Ahmed Foley is here to see.
Axel Foley. Axel.
Axel. Foley is here to see her. He's an old acquaintance. Donnie, this is covered this up. It's like
sorry.
The grease of
sorry.
A dog to scrub for the customer. It's not sexy, it's animal.
No, it's not sexy at all.
Now, I offer you something to drink, a wine, a cocktail, espresso.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
I'll make it to myself right back there with a little lemon twist. It's good, try it.
No, I'm fine.
Actually, look at this piece.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Are we just watching the whole movie now?
Yeah, yeah.
That scene is much more like sitcom-y than I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of like...
Well, he's like straight out of Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, I really like the way he pronounces Hochtail.
Yeah, Hochtail. Yeah. The best is like, we would at college, I'd be like, a little lemon twist, I make myself, it's great. It's very good.
But that's who you're imagining running this museum.
Yeah, they're like, welcome to a museum, very good. And they're like, half of these paintings are fake.
So what was the... Tell me more information.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the artist? Like, what?
Sorry. I was just having a great Beverly Hills Cop. I was just replaying the movie in my head, like one of the, like some weird child. They're like, we don't know what to do with him because I just sit in a corner and just replay Beverly Hills Cop.
Eli's just mad because like, oh, that's when Axel's mentor gets shot right before he retires.
Oh yeah, this is some good French
music.
Some
Parisian.
So this is the best thing about it is that it is a museum completely dedicated to one painter. It's not like a super famous painter. I don't really want to say the name because we're probably going to... Etienne Theroux, I would guess.
Say it like...
I'm more inventor.
Say it like Bronson Pinchot would say it.
Etienne Theroux. a contemporary of Matisse. And so that's like what's even bigger is that this is a museum that I guess whoever founded it, their whole mission had to be like, this guy is so underappreciated. There's no recognition for him. He's so good. Then they got 140 works by him, and then 82 of them are fake.
Fuck.
And the other thing that's great about this is when you think about someone finding out that art is a forgery, like especially when it's high profile, it's usually from like very in-depth They do tests on, like, you know, that stuff. They're like, we tested some of the paint, and it turns out, like, the levels of cadmium aren't, like, don't align with the levels that should be if it was really painted in that period. This paper was not available. It's like that sort of shit. They found out about this because they hired an art historian, and while he was preparing an exhibit, he noticed that some of the paintings just had buildings in them that weren't there when this guy was alive. So it's like...
It's okay, I'm not trying to tell you guys your business, but is that Alf? Is this a painting of Alf?
Yes, it is his most famous painting, Alf in the Dusk.
When was this guy alive? This guy was alive like 200 years ago,
yeah,
right?
1622, yeah, yes.
When was Alf?
I didn't know there was
would
Alf.
Would you also enjoy... Thundercats. It's Cher Emile. Just all like...
It's like, I'm pretty sure it's Michael Jordan, too. Look, I'm not trying to tell you guys your bit, like I said.
Then I suppose you do not want to see the Batman paintings. Ignore the whole Batman wing, in fact. Series of portraits of Batman.
We call it the Bat Wing.
Also. So this guy's looking at these paintings, and he's just like, yeah, I don't know, whatever, it's like... I don't know when the Eiffel Tower was built. I'm not going to try to do history. I'm really bad at it.
Late 1800s.
1924.
Really?
1928.
What was it?
1618. I'm doing the Billy Madison.
Okay.
Well, because I was going to say, if it was 1928, that would have been so good because they said, I know, but they said some of the paintings attributed to him featured buildings built after his death in 1922, and it would have fucking kicked ass if it was the Eiffel Tower. And like, that wasn't there. Like, he just was doing, like, he was just doing, like, tourist kitsch.
Yeah, just like the least imaginative forger ever. It's like, all right, French, right? Yeah. So Eiffel Tower. It's like, come
yeah,
on, man.
You know, baguettes, berets.
Yeah, we got a guy
in,
like,
mustaches.
He's got a purple beret. He's got a black and white horizontal striped shirt and one of those long cigarette things.
You know, your mimes.
You got your freaking mimes. Hey, I got a whole fucking truck of this guy's paintings here. What's his name? Yeah, that's him. It's just, I like our, like, meatball thief who is just, this is life of crime at this point, this character.
The idea of this
podcast.
Guy driving around the south of France is pretty good.
Yeah.
This guy seems pretty trustworthy to me.
This debt.
Hey, how you fucking doing? What's going on? We got these paintings in here?
Hey, give me some of them.
170,000.
Give me some of them escargots.
Give me some of them snail meatballs.
Snail
meatballs. 1889. That was close.
You were close by saying 18 something. You were.
I said like 1898.
Yeah.
And then they had a committee of experts inspect the works, which is like, if this was me, I'd be like, let's get as few people involved as possible. Let's not gather a fucking squad.
The committee are just guys who are all pinching the bridge of their nose at the same time. Just like, oh,
they all have
God.
Pince-nez, and they pass it around. Like, this is also, what's funny to me is just talking about that, like folksy street art. I have, like, a relative of mine was, like, was a painter in New Orleans. And you know those, like, Blue Dog paintings?
No.
They're like,
yes.
Yeah, you know what they are?
No.
Apparently, they're like these super famous, like, they just, like, at this point, they're just, like, printed. Like, they just give them out to tourists. It's like this one, like, Blue Dog. And, like, apparently the guy who paints them.
You've seen, I'm sure you've seen
everybody
it.
Hated him because he's apparently, like, a very skilled artist, and he did, like, the equivalent of, like, Garfield it out and just was, like, started painting this Blue Dog over and over, making a ton of money. Back to the story though. This is also weird. It says roughly $170,000 was paid for the phony oil paintings. Which, like, I get that this isn't maybe like the most famous artist, but for somebody who's like a contemporary of Matisse, and you got 82 paintings for $170,000,
he must not have been very good.
Yeah, I feel like...
Also, by contemporary of Matisse, they might just mean alive at the same
right.
time.
Right, I was wondering how much work that phrase is. Yeah, is there a
much
meaning
heavy
to that
lifting?
Word? I don't understand.
That's my new credit, is going to be like contemporary of, just some much more...
Contemporary of Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Contemporary of Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. Yeah, but that's...
Wasn't it also, like, it was sold over decades, right? Is it not suspicious? Like, hey, I got another one for you. It's like, didn't you have it before? Why
yeah,
we
where,
see them
how'd
all?
You find this?
Well, it just became available. Don't ask any more questions or this pipeline closes. You understand me?
It's
I think so. They think that it's from this detective suspect art detectives. So now I'm just imagining fucking Peter Sellers.
Like, yeah.
Peter Sellers versus Bronson Pinchot. That's yeah. what's happening.
Oh,
versus
that'll be, what a movie.
Guido versus I'm trying. Who's
the
like
New
a,
Jersey art dealer?
Who's a classic film Guido?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like all the classic film Guidos are just people that play themselves over and over, like Joe Pesci.
Okay, yeah, so we're doing Peter Sellers, Bronson Pinchot versus Joe Pesci.
That's
yeah.
a great fucking
I would
cast.
Watch that movie.
Yeah, 100%. So they said detectives suspect that other museums may also contain large numbers of forged works. They think that there have been we know there have been a lot of forgeries circulating. We believe like a well-organized network was behind this. They didn't say like that was a tick that I added in there. So I think, but it could be possible that there's a ring, there's a forgery ring that obviously, but like it can't, but at the same time as being well organized, it can't be that good because that's not like a small oversight to include buildings that weren't there.
Yeah.
Like, right.
If they were really, really good at it, they'd be much far beyond that. I mean, as we all know from the TV show White Collar, Neil Caffrey and his forgeries. But
we just did a story on, sorry, go ahead.
No, but I think that there is like it's distinct possibility that this forgery ring, whoever makes these forgeries, just like somebody sold them that one of these paintings and their vetting process was like so god awful, like so dog shit that forger went back and was like, we can unload
unlimited
crazy amount of paintings.
Got a whale here
to this. Like maybe they fucked up and he's like, he puts it up for them to evaluate and then notices like that building's in there that shouldn't be in there and he's fucking sweating bullets. Or she. Women are criminals too. Hey.
Thank you.
Sweating bullets and is like, oh fuck. And then they're just like, yeah, everything looks good. And they're like, he's like, oh, of course. Yes. And then just goes back, like, get them all out.
But of course.
Get all the paintings we fucked up by accident out of storage because I know where we can give.
Yeah,
all of
I mean, it's smart though because they're doing like an aim small, miss small thing. They're not asking for, they're not trying to do like the one painting that's worth like $10 million. They're making a little bit of money over a few years.
We did an episode of Lie, Cheat, and Steal like last week about a father-son art forgery team in Northern England.
Hell yeah.
That sold, oh, it was over $1 million of stuff. And it was because the son was like incredibly artistically gifted and his dad was a piece of shit. And mm-hmm. so he just had his son make all of these forgeries. And then the dad would sort of play on the fact that he was like a North English, like rube, like they lived in council housing and like people just didn't take him seriously. So, and he was like a big metal detector guy. So he would just go and be like, I found this. I don't know. Isn't this crazy? And then
so they think they're getting a steal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
do you think this is worth anything?
Exactly. Yeah. And they got a ton of shit in like, they got stuff in the British Museum. They got like stuff everywhere. And then they got caught. But like recently, like a few years ago, they like some big artifact was like put on display. And the guy from prison was like, yeah, that's one of mine. Like, I remember making that.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, that's I made it in my garage. Like, that's not an ancient Anglo-Saxon artifact. Yeah.
Art forgery, sorry, I don't know if this is similar to what you're going to say. Art forgery is incredibly impressive to me because it's like to replicate that, it's not just being a talented artist because there's a lot of people that are talented artists, but you still like can tell what people draw because they have a certain way they do this. Like you have to have such insane control of like literally the musculature of like your arm and like how you create strokes to actually convincingly forge art that it's like, I don't.
It's really like, amazing.
It's like forging the largest signature in the world.
Yeah.
It's like if someone's signature was fucking 4x3 and used every color and it's like forging that signature. It's crazy to me.
And it had another signature at the bottom.
Dude. Yeah.
True. Also that.
You think you're done. You got to do the signature.
I mean, to me.
You done enough?
I feel like there's no, unless there was something that was like, had like a, this would be mostly happening in Europe. It wouldn't happen here, but like something that's so like crucial to the national character, maybe then you'd have like public sentiment against you. But like if you get caught doing art, like there's no like public outcry.
Well,
it's pretty good.
The thing is like it's a creative feat in itself to do. So
it's like it's like, oh yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, they built people out of like $1 million, but it's like, hey, made these eggheads look like idiots,
right? Which everyone loves.
Well, and I also think that it feeds into
let them off. Come on, yeah. It's fine.
I think it feeds into the thing that like we talked about, where people like don't understand, like they can't connect between like effort and like
actual production, like originality of art, where it's like, I think there are people that are like, well, then this guy's just as good as Matisse then. Like, if you can draw as good as him, then it's just as valuable. Like, it just doesn't, like, it's just a sort of thing where it's like confusing. I don't know. But I'm impressed by it. Well, if I could do it, I'd fucking do it. It seems so cool.
Yeah. I mean, were these forgeries or were these like meant to be like original art? Because that is like a different level of impressive.
Right. Well, yeah. He wasn't, they weren't copying existing pieces of art. They were using his style. In the style. Yeah.
They were like undiscovered.
Right.
Right.
So you walk in with 82 paintings. There's like, what fucking room did you unlock?
Yeah, it's weird.
A storage it was like drawers,
a,
guys.
Yeah, we didn't have a yeah. It's Europe. It's not the Yup guy. It's the other guy. It's the Wow Factor guy.
Oh,
Dale, I think it was.
Oh,
Dale
God.
And Dave.
Storage drawers, man.
Number two.
Okay, that thing really does cut off fast now.
are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Number two, guys. Number two is another scam-ish story. This one is not as creative as making your own paintings. This is a wildlife photography. So there's a the London Natural History Museum runs a Wildlife Photographer of the Year competition, and they announced this picture this guy took called The Night Raider by a guy, Marcio Cabral, a Brazilian guy. It's of an anteater about to attack at like an anthill, but the anthill is like glowing with, I guess, firefly or something on it. I don't know. It's a cool picture.
Let's just have a segment where Patty describes nature photos.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have a segment where Patty describes nature photos and then you recount the plot of a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The two segments. I don't know what mine would be.
I don't know.
Telling a very off-topic story about a wrestler or something.
I think we all do that.
Yeah, that's true. We all do that.
I just know I genuinely enjoy it. It's like imagining someone being like, okay, there's a tiger. He's pretty cool. Like, it's just fun. It's fun.
Patty describes a painting ASMR.
Yeah.
So this guy, according to his description of the photograph, he'd been visiting the national park in Brazil for 3 years, waiting for the right conditions to capture the glowing termite mounds. Mm. After days frustrated by rain, he was in for a surprise. And so this big anteater, according to him, comes out of the darkness.
If he was waiting for it for 3 years, was it really a surprise? That was the goal.
Well, the anteater was the surprise.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Trying to get a picture of the mounds. So the anteater ambled out of...
Those sweet mounds.
Yeah.
anteater... Hey, I like to take a picture of some mounds.
Yeah, this guy. Oh, look out. So he ambled out of the darkness and stayed just long enough for... Oh, he or she ambled out of the darkness. Let's be... Come on. It's 2018. I don't mean to assume...
Women can be wildlife photographers.
No. Anteater. I meant the anteater.
Oh, I'm sorry. Women can be anteaters now. 2018.
No, photographer's a guy.
wildlife photographers always men. Anteaters.
In this... Okay, look. Anteaters can be... hey, look. We're not trying to be... All right. So he...
All across the gender spectrum.
Yeah. So it's a great picture because it was long exposure, so the anteater had to stay still for some period of time to be able to get like the nighttime picture with the glowing lights and all that. Anyway, so he wins the thing, and then in March, an anonymous source came forward questioning the authenticity of the image and providing pictures of a taxidermied anteater that's on display at the entry to the park that is in the exact same pose.
So... Oh man, I knew kind of going into this that there was a stuffed anteater involved. I didn't realize he took it from the entrance of the park
and brought it in.
I'd skimmed it and this is much better because I was like, oh, you know, like whatever. Like the rest of the photo is pretty impressive, but to find out, like he told this wild story. Also, that's especially like I was waiting for 3 years when finally, and like what he really means is like I was waiting for 3 years and I had had fucking enough and I went. And I got that goddamn anteater that every time I walk into this fucking park, it's staring me in the goddamn face. And
wife
I just
left
set
me.
That shit up. Yeah.
So he claimed, of course, that it was not a taxidermy anteater. They brought in a group of experts who looked at the fur patterns.
I love this. I hope it's the same group of experts from the last story that flown in everywhere.
Five scientists. Can you believe this?
What are all these people doing? Is it like
you got nothing else going on?
This is like is this a bureaucracy of the era where they're like this is their version of like a crooked construction contract? It's like, yeah, we're gonna need like 13 artists to figure out if this is fake.
Yeah, according to the museum, five anteater specialists were brought. Okay, they're not, what else are they doing?
Yeah, no, they're
so
not busy.
All of the world's anteater specialists are brought in.
They actually trained three new ones. Yeah. There were only two.
They pick up the red phone and. I know this doesn't
make anteaters. I do aardvarks. Like, dude, come on. It's the fucking... Come on. They're not the same. All right.
I know this doesn't make any sense for the context. Oh, what did I pull on? the context of what they needed to test for, but him insisting it's not a stuffed anteater, I just imagine him holding it and like rubbing it along the ground where ants are. He's like, oh, he's hungry. Oh, look at all these ants he's eating. Oh, stuffed? I don't think so.
The scientists worked independent of each other. So
it's like Calvin and Hobbes.
Studies.
You got to do a double blind. I mean,
yeah. You can't have these guys colluding here. So five scientists independent all concluded there are elements of the animal's posture, morphology, raised tuft of fur and patterns on the neck that are too similar. So basically, like, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, right? So that's a very fancy way to say this looks like they look the same.
Do you need an anteater specialist to tell you that, or can you get a child who is good at Highlights magazine
I think you could have kept it to, let's say, three anteater specialists, just so you don't have you gotta make sure you have a majority, you know, on the decision.
I just really like the idea that he's just like, it's a Calvin and Hobbes situation where he's insisting that the anteater is
every time
alive.
I go to the park, the anteater tackles me.
Yeah.
He's very excited to see me.
That language is very funny.
The distribution of coloration within its fur was congruent with the original.
Yeah.
So the spots look the same?
Yeah, man, it's the same.
They got the same spots the same. On them. Cool.
So,
thank you.
So he says it's not. It's a real anteater. He did not. He did not provide an explanation as to why he had no other images of the anteater, right? Because he just took the one perfect one and then I guess just let it walk away without doing anything else. And he also provided a witness who claims he saw the live anteater. Yeah. It was a mystery witness.
That's so funny.
Not very credible compared to the five.
Ladies and gentlemen,
scientists.
I saw the anteater.
Yeah. It's just a video of like a guy who's like they have like the black like the shadowy. Like,
yeah, they
like,
change his
well,
voice.
Well, I saw the anteater. Yes, it was very much alive and not the one from the entrance to the park.
Yeah. It's the opposite of Bigfoot, where it's like the photo's so clear that no one believes it.
So
also, you know how wildlife photographers, like, and photographers in general, just generally take one photo.
Just one.
Just the one.
Times it perfectly. It's like,
nailed
nice.
It. One take.
Done.
One take.
Honey.
I'm glad I waited 3 years to try this.
Honey,
so, hey, were you using,
I'm
like,
coming home.
Were you using like special film or not digital? It's like, so there was literally no reason not to just take a million of them because you can just delete them. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I just like to get it right the first time. It's like, what the... Okay.
Do you know what? Somebody else that I just was in the comments of the story I read. Some guy's like, this is why they need to submit the original raw files for competitions
at
this level.
It wasn't Photoshop, though,
yeah, that's that's what he thought was happening.
It was a fake anteater.
Like, in a raw file, they just it's not going to be there.
You see here, it says not alive. Weird. But you named the file.
It's one of those special, like, ghost hunting cameras, so you can't see its life force.
Yeah,
it's
a soul.
You need the electromagnetic readings of the site to make sure it's not a ghost eater.
So the museum will not be awarding a replacement winner, and this guy's been banned forever entering the competition again, which feels like that's got to hurt. Right,
that does
I think
suck if you're a wildlife photographer.
I mean, like,
what else are you gonna do?
You wanted it that much, and they're like, never again, pal. Pretty brutal.
He moves into sports photography and turns in just some taxidermied runner, like on a track.
And he's like, this is just the bodies exhibit. Like, you can see his like tendons. What are
is
you
this a scarecrow with a football helmet on?
No,
look. No.
I'm going to be honest with you. No, it's not.
We're gonna need 18 football players in here to tell us.
I don't want to lie to you. And he just walks out of the room without saying anything else.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Okay, this week, this story is very near and dear to my heart. As a chronicler of... Instagram thoughts. I really enjoyed this. So this week, apparently, Sarah Palin, who her Instagram handle is Sarah Palin 97, which is kind of weird to me. Like, why can't you get...
She's just lying about her age.
But up? Or no, I was born in 97.
I was born in 97.
You would think she'd be able to lobby Instagram to, like, kick off whoever's on Sarah Palin, like the regular one.
Right. Like, very
weird. Or, like, Sarah Palin USA or something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, 97
is
the
original
weird.
Sarah Palin.
It's Sarah Palin.
The comedian Sarah Palin.
I love it's. Like, that's always a good one.
Yeah. Sarah Palin funny.
So I like Sarah Palin, ha ha.
So Sarah Palin is this guy, Brandon Danceu. So it's a real guy.
He just has Sarah.
Well,
that
like
kind of
rules. It's like how you're Chili's restaurants, I guess. There's not a lot of Instagram not doing a lot of brand policing.
Well, Sarah Palin 97 posted on Instagram. I'm not going to read it all, But it starts as a busy hockey mom, hockey emoji.
We're not... still doing the hockey thing? Aren't all her kids grown?
Yeah. They're like 60. They all have fucking book deals. She, like, what?
And she has like a baby, right? That's like it?
Yeah. Tag. But she's a busy hockey mom to tag, I guess.
Trag.
Trapper.
Trag.
Trig.
Trig. Trig.
Trig.
This sounds like a group of three. Like,
sounds like sled dogs.
It sounds like a boss. Sounds like a boss from a video game that has like multiple parts, you know?
Yeah. Like they like double team you. They split off and then they come back together and
it's
form.
Like you have to kill Tag and then Trig or
whatever.
You have
to kill both the arms and then you can attack the body.
Yeah. Like, well, or they're like on each other's shoulders and then like when you think you killed them once, it just splits into two and you're like, oh, there's a whole other
God
stage.
God damn it. Now there's Trip and Trap. Fuck.
Oh, the music changed. Shit.
Well, yeah, she posted this Instagram about how she's a busy hockey mom. She needs lots of energy to keep up with Trig. And basically, long story short, this whole thing is an ad for fucking the Instagram flat tummy poop tea.
Hell yeah.
Diarrhea tea. Diarrhea.
Sarah Palin, sponsored by Diarrhea Tea.
Yeah.
If you want to know, if you are a Diarrhea Tea consumer, first of all, don't be. But second of all, don't get Team E Blends. T-E-A-M-I Blends. Team E Blends.
She's not Team I Blends?
I think it's T-Me Blends, because it's a T.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that...
Great brand name, though, regardless.
Yeah, great.
Really not brain tea.
Hey! anyway, so I guess...
pond scum pills are for.
Sarah Palin's shitting her brains out like every Instagram thirst follow that you have.
What's the use case there? Like, you like go home and you like block out a few hours and you like take the tea? Like, how does that fit into your life?
It's just...
It replaces exercise?
It's supposed to be energy, like... She's doing it as like quote unquote energy, but it's like a diuretic and a stimulant. So it's like marginally good for weight loss because you lose water weight because you pee a lot and it makes you shit. Yeah.
And
it
you
has
really
caffeine.
Dehydrated, which is good.
Yeah.
And then you're woozy, so you think you're thinner.
But like it's like a laxative,
your
right?
Head feels
it's basically
so light.
A laxative.
So you have to like take it and then you have to be near a bathroom.
I mean, I don't know. When you take a laxative, it's not like you're like, oh no, a shit tornado is about to come out of my...
I've seen Dumb and Dumber.
I think it's just, it's also like one of those, it's like, oh, it you know, fucking triggers the fat burning muscles or whatever. It's like that, what's that other one that's like garcinogen? There's like, you can get supplements.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's
like
green
like,
coffee extract. Like, there's like garcinogen.
They turn your fucking stomach on overdrive.
I'm just
or whatever.
Imagining every Instagram bikini lady is just Harry from Dumb and Dumber, like at least once a week.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah.
Don't use the toilet upstairs. It's broken.
I find that whole economy very fascinating, like the Instagram bikini lady economy of like hair gummies.
It's only a few products. Yeah, it's weird.
Hair gummies.
There's a teeth whitener one that they have a lot.
Cocoa White.
Yep. Cocoa White.
I know the fucking brand. Yeah, I don't. I mean, the whole thing is like, but this is, I think,
corsets,
the whole reason
they have those corsets that they put on.
Yeah, the
those
waist
are
trainers.
Great.
Yeah,
waist trainers. It's a corset, dude.
It's like next we're gonna have foot trainers, which are just foot binding.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back.
Yeah,
baby.
It's fucked up, man.
Foot trainers make your foot. Are you disappointed that your feet don't look enough like delicate lily pads? Get a foot trainer. But this, I think it has to be number one because like this, if with our purported like reason for the podcast, like. This truly is like, and also,
yeah, oh, completely. Just this is such a 2018 thing.
This is why you can't satire like these people. Like, I think we go pretty weird and like absurd with the way we sat. Like, but this is literally, if we haven't made this joke, we would have. Is it Sarah Palin is like hawking flat tummy tea?
It's wild.
Like, and it's just like, this is why you don't have to show these people deference, because the second they're out of power and lose their little like hooks into whatever they're doing, they're running a shitty aggregator site, which is what Sarah Palin's website is.
Yeah. She's just like conservative George Takei. Yeah. Like that's, I feel like.
She was nominated for vice president of the United States. Not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
It feels like 100 years ago, but it wasn't that long ago.
I feel like, and sorry, we don't have to talk about wrestling, but I feel like getting into wrestling has like lifted the veil from my eyes of like, these people are all carnies. They are all just, they're fucking grifter hustlers, will do anything for a dollar. I don't want to say I respect it, but it is so horrifying that I kind of like appreciate how dark they are willing to go with it.
Yeah.
It's because it's, I mean, all this, like it feels like most political stuff is like you have to just really want power very badly, but it's also not an easy way to get it. So you have to like just be super bald faced and super like ambitious and cutthroat and shitty. Yeah. Cause it's like, if you just wanted to get fame, like, I don't know what the fuck it drives. It's such a strange thing to pursue that I really don't understand.
Imagine, like, who's buying this tea?
Take it from us, people who are stand up comedians.
Who's buying Sarah Palin's tea? Like, I know it's not her.
I hope it's
like
a bunch of like fucking Trump dads that only eat like buffalo wings and then they have buffalo wings and flat tummy tea and it's just a fucking bowel nightmare.
Yeah, they're Harry from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
The same people that have those like electroshock ab machines that are just like, you know.
It does appeal to like the exact right people of like, I want results with no effort. I want to be as lazy as possible.
Yeah.
But still.
Does Sarah Palin get horny guys in the comments? I assume so, right?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Oh, probably. Come to Brazil.
I'm going to check the comments in the post.
Come to Russia.
Show feet, sweetie.
Come to Brazil. Wait, I'm not sorry.
We're going to read some good
Sarah Palin 97.
Let's close it out with some choice.
Yeah.
Choice Sarah Palin.
408 comments. Instagram. Would have expected more, I got to be honest. All right, some of them
Well, people probably can't find her cuz she's not Sarah Palin. She's Sarah Palin 97.
Oh, we got an amateur lawyer here.
69 posts on Sarah Palin's account.
Nice. This is Jim Tobin. This post is not compliant with Federal Trade Commission regulations on paid disclosures. Careful out there, Sarah.
That wasn't sexy, but the sexy music started to come
in. Is this rock bottom? Okay, so they're not very kind. These comments have not been very kind so far. Where's the hashtag ad, you deceitful cow?
All right, well, it's true. You have to disclose your spawn con.
Oh, yeah, it's these strong, liberal people.
There's a lot of ha-ha-ha-ha's, Trig for president, which I don't think that's going to happen.
See, if there. I wonder if there's horny comments on like other ones. Other pictures on her account.
Here we go. We got one. I went and ordered some. I hope it is delicious and amazing. Cindy Martins.
Oh, what a sincere optimism.
Your response to Cindy Martins, you're going to get the shits and you deserve it. This is where the discourse takes place, folks.
This is hashtag resistance.
I did not expect this. This is making me really sad reading these comments.
She's getting
because,
like very Real Housewives.
Well, she's getting, I don't know, but the comments that I'm reading are like, from what I would guess would be considered, people are just like, your son looks like your son's really growing up fast. And then it's, I guess, people that would probably report themselves to be like liberals being like, run for vice president again, you stupid fat bitch. It's like, whoa.
I got one. DM me pics of your butt. We got one.
Oh, I got one. This is all caps. I love you, Sarah. I just got a hat with your face on it. Please respond. Heart, 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 heart.
Nice.
The idea of like still being a Sarah Palin fan is interesting.
You are an amazing woman.
Yeah. That's here's a good one. This has insane spacing. There's like a lot of that thing where they end a sentence with a period or an exclamation point, but there's like three spaces between the end of the sentence and the punctuation.
Oh, hell yeah.
So Sarah Palin, stop being, it's all caps too. Sarah Palin, stop being buried and settling for crap and being crapped on. Take your career back. Be the first woman president. Just do it. Be it.
Yeah.
Stop settling crap TV and gigs. Sick.
Stop selling crap tea.
Stop
and crapping.
Stop being buried and screwed over by Donald Trump, the media, and the corrupt Uniparty.
This is a never Trump guy. That's a pro Palin.
Michael Changey.
Oh man, like imagine being from, like a never Trump person who loves Sarah Palin. What a fucking world.
They're gonna be out
you
there.
Can't, well, you couldn't be because they're all intellectuals and she was distasteful to them.
This is also from Hispanic Mom 7 on this photo. So good to quote unquote see you at two again. I don't know what that means. There's nothing in there's nothing in the caption.
Everybody, let's read one more and then close this out.
Yeah,
everybody find a good one to go out on.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
I got,
you
like,
go.
I got two there fast. The first one is just titties. TIDDIES. And the second one, that was from Manimal 5.7. The second one is a _ Colt _ N. If Mr. Palin is ever out of the picture, LMK. Let me know.
There it is.
Okay. I have one on, she posted a hashtag TBT of her and McCain. And somebody wrote, this beautiful lady is great, but that rhino to the right is nothing. That rhino is a traitor to the American people. He should be in Getmo waiting for the firing squad.
Yeah, send him to Venmo.
Send him to Venmo.
All right, I
Gitmo,
can't find
it. Gitmo in the bio.
Gitmo in the bio. All right, we did
it. I think we did it, guys. That was something. yeah, so we I don't know. We have bonus episodes every week. The Patreon.com/whatatimepod. Patreon.com/whatatimepod. Thanks to everybody who's joined up for that. We are still waiting on the shirts and stuff from the upper bonus tiers, and we will have those as soon as we can and get them out. So they are on the way. We have made the order. We're just waiting on the screenings to come back. And otherwise, we're on all the stuff. What a Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram. WhatATimePodcast@gmail.com. I think we're also What a Time Pod on Facebook, Facebook.com/WhatATimePod. I'm Patty Mel and stuff, and I'm tired of talking about this. We have a show every Friday, me and Eli, at Karma Lounge, Bad Karma. Okay, bye.
I have two podcasts, other than this one. I have this one too. Listen to this one. But also listen to WrestleSplania, where I explain pro wrestling to new fan Rachel Millman. That one's very fun. I also have a podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters called Lie, Cheat, and Steal with my friend Pat Sorois. I'm Kath Barbadoro on all the stuff. Follow me and listen to my things.
This week, or tonight, this is coming out on Wednesday, tonight at Lucky Jack's, in the Lower East Side, I'm on a show called Too Many Cooks at 8:30 p.m. It's a really good show. I'm excited to be on it. It should be very good. So I'm doing that if you want to come to that. Other than that, just Karma and the regular stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. We'll see you next week.
Bye.